Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. You guys, this isn't a motivational toxic positivity podcast, okay? This is the arena. This is where people come in when they're done talking about success and ready to tell the truth about what it takes to actually build it. Because let's be honest, there is a whole lot of noise out there. People teaching businesses who've never built one, people selling strategies that only work if you're already winning, and people chasing attention, algorithms, likes instead of actual results. And meanwhile, you're over here trying to build something real, trying to figure it out, taking the hits, learning the hard way. And I want to say good, because that's where this happens. God did not create you to play small or to follow broken systems. He created you to live in your highest potential, to build something that actually works, and to bring other people with you when you do. You are called to be contagious, courageous, magnetic, and your mess, the failures, the things that were meant to destroy you, the bad calls, the mistakes, the things that didn't work, babe, that's not wasted. That's your message. And that's the thing that actually makes you dangerous in the best way. So if you're in the arena, not perfect, not polished, but still showing up, you're exactly where you need to be. I want to get into it. I'm very excited to introduce Roy Osing today. This is not a theory. Roy took a startup and turned it into a company doing $1 billion a year in sales. You guys take a deep breath. Okay, he's real. I actually spoke to him a little bit before the show started. He is human. Okay. 40 years of executive leadership, president, entrepreneur. But I feel like what makes Roy different isn't just the results, it's how we got there. So I want to bring him into the hot seat today and start there with Roy. Hi, welcome to the show. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Oh, so first of all, thank you so much, Brandon, for having me, and thank you for your audience, to the extent that they're going to be listening. So I'm kind of like a person that sees different ways of doing things and learns to leverage them into performance that people just kind of scratch their heads and say, "How did that happen?" So yeah, we were lucky in a way. We had the opportunity in the telecom space to take a early stage data company to $1 billion in annual sales. And actually, the interesting thing is that business today is $18 billion a year.
Wow.
Okay, so, and I'm sorry, I just had goosebumps. I mean, it's just amazing to me that with this group of people, we were able to get that kind of traction going
Yeah.
and move it. But the way we did it was completely different than the so-called business experts of the day. Okay, which makes me laugh because to your point, they've never done anything in terms of leading a business and performing at high levels. But we did it differently. I mean, as a leader, I just did things like I tried stuff like hiring for goosebumps, cutting the crap, killing dumb rules. I did all sorts of stuff that was completely off the wall, and people would go, "What?" And the thing is, they resonate with people, and that's what you need to do. You get resonance. You get buy-in, you get engagement, you get love, you get growth, you get performance. Easy
Yeah,
peasy.
not easy. I love that you laughed after that. I'm glad. Easy peasy. Well, so what do you think is like, what's the biggest lie that people believe about success at that level?
Well, the biggest lie is they believe that the textbook and the world of academia will actually deliver the results. And my experience is, yes, as a guide, academia and textbooks are helpful, but there's a certain point where, and I keep talking about this, you got to put the textbook down, dude. You just got to put it down because it's not going to be helpful. Okay. And so people rely on stuff. And actually, you know what? It's a shame that academic institutions do this to people. They walk out the doors with a degree and they actually believe, and MBAs are classic in this, and I don't fault MBAs. I fault the academic in schools. They actually walk out feeling that they're entitled to six figures because they got the degree. And the reality is, because look at, I've interviewed so many of these people
Yeah.
just all over the place, and they actually expect it. And the lie is taught to them to expect it. And so I come from a world of practicality. I come from a world of feelings. I come from the world of human behavior, and doing what is right for people in a way that they care about that delivers unbelievable results. And typically, that does not conform to what the textbook says. And so what I try and do is get people comfortable. You need to step out. You need to get color outside the lines is okay. Being imperfect is in fact the source of creativity and innovation. Being inside, guess what that is? You may feel warm and comfortable being in the herd, but you're not standing out. You're not adding anything for me. You're just not. So if you want that, that's fine. But I'd like to see a world where we can move everybody out of that big glut in the distribution curve, move them to the be different right, of just 5 points. And can you imagine what that would do for the world? I
Right.
mean, it would just be amazing. And so the lie is expecting education will get you where you need to get to. Absolutely bullshit.
Yeah, I
So
agree.
that's just it.
And you know, it's crazy because I think so much is missing. Like these kids, like you're saying, they walk out with this degree and they feel entitled. And it's not just the entitlement I think that's really missing in the education departments in universities. Like my husband's job, for instance, he works for this huge welding company. They get big, like military contracts. And so, you know, these. It used to be a family business, but this crew took over and they hire a bunch of kids right out of college. They have a some kind of thing with Purdue, right? Nice kids, but like they have no idea what it is to treat the workers like humans. Like there is no human connection. So, you know, these guys are welders. They're doing a tough job, lot, you know, smoke, like it's a crazy job. And their expectation of them and then how they take care of them, it's just so unrelatable. They put out a newsletter every month where they've got, you know, this young kid just got married. He went to Bali for his honeymoon. And like, this is what they're sending to blue collar workers, like to try to be relatable or make some kind of human connection. And like, these guys are struggling, like not even seen as people. You know, it's crazy to me the disconnect. I'm like, do these guys ever come down and just kind of like work with you guys or learn or kind of, you know, see what's happening? And so I just feel like there's such a disconnect with humanity. Like, I know what school says to do. I know how you feel like you have to, you know, follow X, Y, Z, but like come out and be a person. Like be a real person
Well,
here.
yeah, I mean, one of the things for me that I learned really, really early, and I coined the phrase leadership by serving around. It's called LBSA. Okay, and what it is, it's a real simple concept that you won't find anywhere else other than Roy's books, right? It's a really simple concept where you get out one way or the other, whether it's physically or whatever, and you ask one simple question of people: how can I help? Now, the why can I help is an amazingly strategic question, because when you do that, guess what happens? People perk up, they tell you, and now it's on you, right, as the leader to deliver. But when you deliver, guess what happens? Execution of the company's organization strategy goes through the roof. So I spent probably 30% of my week embedded in my organization, and it's a large organization. It was like 5, 6, 7,000 people. So that was a big time commitment. By the way, there's no such thing as life balance when you're trying to scale a business. Anyways, I digress. So I'm in the workplace just doing this all the time, and people got to look forward to my visits because they could tell me things and I would listen. I'd go back, get stuff done, and they would say, good, tell their friends that. So it ended up to be the change ended up to be a good virus in the organization. People passed it on. But it all starts with leadership. And if the leader happens to be leaning into a textbook, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. If leaders leave out of the textbook into human relationships and connections, then they're just maybe a help. But they don't teach leadership this way in school, Brandon, because it's taught by profs, okay, who've never done it. They've never been on the coal face of fickle customers and aggressive competitors where they've actually had to generate a top line revenue that grows to satisfy shareholders and employees. They've never had to do that. So it's all in their mind. And they ponder about this stuff and they actually believe that the ideological process delivers results. Well, I got news for you. It doesn't, because sooner or later, those ideas have to degenerate into deeds that get done lovingly by people that drive organizations to higher levels. And that's a big piece that's missing right now, is the belief that ideas, okay, are the way to success. And I got news for you. I can take a kind of shitty idea and probably execute it in a way that will actually deliver results. And the reason for that is perfection does not exist. Okay? It doesn't exist.
Yeah. I'm gonna give you the name of this company, by the way, so you can start sending your books to them and letting them know that you need to come give a seminar on how to save the company. People don't understand, like, productivity, everything changes when you have real leadership. Real
I'd
leadership.
be delighted. Have them reach out to me. This is one of the things I do through
Yeah.
opportunities like this is connect and help. And that's what I'm here for. Use me.
Right, for sure. So, okay. I know, this audacious and unheard of, if we're putting that in real life decisions to where they're not just words, I would say, like, what is one of the biggest moments where you made a move that everyone is like, okay, he's batshit crazy, but it actually changed everything and kind of left them in awe. I'm sure you have several stories. I say pick a few.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
just going to give you one, and it was called the way we actually develop. And look at people are going to go, oh no, we can talk about planning. It was actually recreating how we define the future path for the organization. Because what I found is when I took over this job as president, is that typical pedantic academic approaches to strategic planning weren't helpful because it was exactly what you and I just were talking about. It was all about spending the time on developing a perfect plan, right? And it was very, very expensive. So my view has always been that you need to figure out how to execute perfection better than the other guy. If you can do that, then you're going to be successful. And the billion a year, I think, is a proof point that that works. So I recreated a planning process for us that people thought I was batshit crazy because basically the theme was I'm going to spend 20% of the time on nailing down the end game and the direction, and I'm going to spend 80% of the time figuring out how I'm going to achieve that imperfect direction. So in other words, right away at the outset, we're going to accept the fact that we don't have all the facts. And by the way, you never do, okay? For you guys out there, get over it. You spend another 2 weeks, you will be no better off than you are right now. Take what you got, create a strat. So we created the strategy, which I call the strategic game plan. Three questions. How big do you want to be in 24 months? That's a statement of top line revenue. Secondly, who do you want to serve? What are the target markets that you think have the potential to deliver that growth? And what do they crave? I want to make the point, this is not about what people need because basically people's needs are satisfied. What isn't satisfied is what they desire, what they lust for, what they covet. And I call them cravings. It's an emotional trigger. Okay, that you need to evoke in people to get them leaning into you, developing the relationship so that you can get an ongoing set of transactions. And then the third question is how are you going to compete and win? And this is amazing one because this has resonated so much with people. I call it you need to be the only one that does what you do. So if you read my work, you will find a lot on what I call the only statement. And Roy is the only person that offers the only statement and a process that allows people to achieve sustainable, real competitive advantage. Unlike any textbook that says universal sell your unique selling propositions, which by the way, are not unique at all. That's another lie. And
Yeah.
so that was people looked at that and said, you can't do a plan in 48 hours, because that's what it takes me. And I do it with small businesses all the time. Love to do it for the welding company. 48 hours, you have a plan that you can execute and a process that allows you to monitor, et cetera. That was one of them that people went to sort of scratch their heads. And then I did a bunch more in succession and eventually got to, oh my God, here he goes again. He's talking about hiring for goosebumps. What the hell is that all about? And so I became known as this misfit. Completely out there doing stuff, but you know what? The 4,000 people in my organization loved it.
Yeah.
They loved every step of the way because they could identify with stuff, right? So that's just one, but yeah, success was doing a lot of that constantly. A
Yeah.
lot of that constantly in an environment. This was a telco in an environment with a very, very strict, rigid culture. So this was not acceptable. So you talk about pain points. I
Right.
mean, I was in pain every day trying
Right.
to move this yardstick forward.
Yeah. Well, I kind of want to talk on, I have a pretty good idea from your energy and your tenacity. I know what this is gonna, be like for you, but explain to the listeners what failure looks like for you on the way to that billion.
Yeah, failure was all about fighting off the sharks inside. Okay. It was all about watching your back. This is a terrible thing to
Yeah.
have to discuss, but the reality is it's real. And if you don't confront it, you're going to die. Okay. It's like a lot of people don't want you to succeed. There's this huge resistance to change. Huge. I mean, people talk about it, right, from an academic point of view.
Course.
Okay, but I got to tell you, in the real world, it is much more pronounced. It is much more painful. Okay, and you got to figure out a way to get through it. So my way of sort of trying to get more and more people who didn't want us to succeed to want us to succeed
Yeah.
was to create what I call an army of advocates. And this was tough. It was like one person at a time. Yeah, I call it communicate and convince. I mean, that's it. It's not do anything. As a leader, you can't tell people to do things. You have to communicate intent, convince them that this is a worthwhile journey. They should follow with you, not follow me, but be with me, right? And so that's how we addressed it. But it was really tough. I mean, I would go home, man, I'd go home after, 10, 12 hours at work, and I'd say to my wife, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
It's
That's my
just way too
question.
way oh, it's way too painful.
How do you handle pressure at that level? That is not normal stress. That is not like, oh,
No.
I got a flat tire on the way to work. Like this.
Well, the thing that makes it even more sort of egregious, if you will, the whole activity is like if you, as a leader, at least I felt, if I didn't find a way through this, I have at least 4,000 to 10,000 people who are depending on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm letting them down. It's not about me. Okay, it is not about me. And please, you guys listening to this, it isn't about you. It's about the people that care about you, that rely on you, that want to be part of your tribe. That's who it's about. And so when you decide to take a path that absolves you of the pain, you're letting a lot of people down. And I just made the call. I said, you know what? I'm staying with this. We're going to knock these puppies down one by one, get our army, and once we have critical mass inside, the rest of them, okay, will fall in. And that's exactly what happened. But it was, wow, it was painful.
Yeah,
Really painful.
I can imagine. So you stepped into this potential of just being who you are incredibly, and that was kind of against the grain. And everybody has the opportunity to do the same thing. So my question now is like, what separates people who build something massive from the people who are just staying stuck at average?
Well, I think in it for me, and to the extent that it applies to other people, I just think you need to have something running through your as part of your DNA that drives you to be different.
Yeah.
Okay, you need to have a fundamental characteristic of your personality and brand, this desire to step out, look for opportunities to do things differently. In a way people care about. And that's the point I want to make to you. In today's world, like people think be different is about the color of your hair.
Right.
It's about your pronouns. It's about all that kind of stuff. And all that is a narcissistic expression of what you feel about you. That's not what this is about. Being successful is the figuring out a way to be really incredibly special in a way that other people care about.
Right.
Okay, let me say that other people care about, not you. And this is the biggest issue that there is out there, Brandon, because everybody tries to be different, but they're missing the piece. Like what I would say about your moniker, Listen Bitch Presents,
Yeah.
tell me why you're special. I would say, in a way, other people care about.
Yeah.
Let's get that notion out there because that's the only thing that's important. Why? It's important in business. You want to get customers? You want to give them a reason to buy from you and nobody else. That's all about how you're special in a way they care about. Same thing in relationships, same thing in careers. Why should I hire you? Tell me how you're special in a way that the organization cares about. Don't tell me what you think about you, because quite frankly, I don't care.
Yeah.
I do not care.
I love that.
I'm here as a custodian of an organization or a relationship, whatever, right, that cares about the outcome. And so I need people who are focused on other people, not focused on themselves. And so that's a huge piece. And if people can actually start to reorient their thinking that way, it opens up amazing opportunities for one reason only. And that's because nobody else is doing it. Nobody else is thinking this way. Nobody else. I'll be willing to bet I'm the only guest you've ever had that talks about this shit.
Well, I will tell you right now, I mean, I can't take notes because I'm interviewing you. So if one of my listeners is taking notes, you better share that shit because I'm going back to listen. I'm taking notes. I'm a student
Oh.
now. I love this. But you're right, and I feel like, this is probably the place that most entrepreneurs are playing it too safe. They want to fit in the box. And, I literally just had a conversation about the Instagram princess curated, it's bullshit to me. Like these fake profiles of this fake lifestyle where they're just miserable and empty, and you can feel that.
Yeah.
But it's what the world is teaching us. Like, this is happiness. Buy the big house, buy the big car.
Yeah.
You're gonna get the girls, you're gonna have the money. And it's
Yeah,
like
move.
they play it safe. They don't step outside of the box. They don't color out the lines. And I'm not saying that in judgment, because I honestly am genuinely going to go back to this and figure out, like, where am I playing it safe? I'm going to be
Well,
asking the same things.
the one point I want to make though is like let's not beat ourselves up here, okay? Because the world is totally tactically driven right now, is the way I would describe it. Okay, everybody's interested in social media. Everybody's interested in artificial intelligence. Okay, and I'm constantly asked, what do you think about my social media program? And I go, I haven't got a clue. And the reason I say that is I don't know what you're trying to achieve. And so let's start to understand that the way we create action, the way we justify what we do relative to the end game is to define the end game. So what we lack is context. And I talk about this all the time. We need context for our business, for our relationships, for our personal lives, for our careers. And then have the context drive. Okay, what is the best way to use artificial intelligence given that I've just defined my strategic context and I know what the end game looks like? What should my posts look like? What is the message that they should convey? And if I'm here to satisfy and care about others and have them care about me, that very definitely means that my messages should take on a certain look and feel, right? Like it ain't about you, okay? And it may have dick all to do with the house. Let's figure, have context, drive strategy, drive tactics. And that piece is really missing because we are so infatuated as a society with tactical stuff. And the reason for that is it's easy to see the result. But you have no idea without context whether that's the result that you want or not because you haven't figured it out. So I say, let's do the work. Let's do the context work first. Have context inform tactics, not have tactics exist in a vacuum. Oh, I've never said that before. That's a good quote, by the way.
That's so
And I will have forgotten it. So you need to text it to me so I can remember what I
Whoever's
said.
taking notes for us, I'll share them with you as well.
But it's true. It is such a big problem today. It's huge.
Yeah, you say be different or be dead. And I feel that to my core, but I want you to explain that to the listeners, what that means in today's world. Just kind of like you're saying, I mean, everybody's stuff looks the same everywhere.
It does, and I've developed a little bit of a gig around differentiation on this, and I talk about today the world is replete with copying. Everybody's a copycat, like benchmarking, best of class. Everybody copies everybody, right? Everybody is concerned with what I call claptrap. Claptrap in my world is the use of words like the best, better, number one, leader. Right, premium supplier, all this stuff that means absolutely nothing out there, right? That's claptrap. The third thing is aspirations. Let me read you an aspirational statement that makes me laugh. This company says that they are quote, the Earth's most customer-centric company. Now, Brandon, I ask you, first of all, is that aspirational? Does
No.
it inform a customer as to why they should do business with this company? Or is it simply the ultimate helium-filled narcissist statement?
My
So I
kids
talk about that, right?
they would call that an ick.
Oh, that's I mean, and the world is full of this, and unfortunately, that's what's informing people. That's the problem. That sort of thinking informs people. Now, this is a very, very, very successful company, and I don't deny that they're a really, high-performing company. But my point is, when you flood that stuff out there, all it does is make the board feel good. All
Right.
it does is make the ownership feel good. It doesn't say anything. Because if you turn around to a frontline person and say, "What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? You're in your job day in and day out. What behaviors should you exhibit?" They will give you their view of it. And the problem is, if I have 4,000 people, I have 4,000 different views.
Yep.
So I need to get my thinking straight, get the context defined, and then the rest sort of comes with a lot of cajoling and helping and so
Right.
forth.
Right. What part of your journey do you think people wouldn't want to go through if they actually knew the truth?
Exactly what we've been talking about, the very, very beginning. I mean, doing the work up front. The biggest problem that entrepreneurs have is they don't do the work. They have a product idea. Okay, they want to go out and flog. The problem is the product's the same as everybody else's, and so they end up trying to compete in a commodity world. So they don't do the work up front. And that work involves, how is my idea different than everybody else's idea out there? In a way that people care about.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. In a way that people care about, right? They don't do even do the first part that says, "Well, how can I differentiate the product?" They don't think about that even. And so that's the biggest piece that needs to be addressed. And it can. I mean, I've spent my whole life. Look at, I've been blogging on this stuff since 2009. So I am an old dude, right? I've been around a while, so you can't bullshit me for one thing. And I've been way too long, right, to have people say, "Well, that doesn't work." So I have created so much help, and I do a podcast, et cetera, and so much information that's out there on how to do this. So it's not just a bunch of ideologies around be different or be dead. It's actually a system that I've learned to create behind it to allow people to actually execute against that system. And I just think we need to get people leaning into that, Brandon. You're doing a great job of kind of like conjuring up and shaking people in that, and just keep doing it. That's all we can do is keep doing it.
Right. Absolutely. What do you think? What would you say that young entrepreneurs need to stop doing immediately? Like the listener.
Copying, copying, benchmarking. I mean, get the word copying, gargling Google, get the hell out of Google. An AI from the point of view of a search engine, okay? If you're going to search, okay, you want to come up with something that you want to be different from, not copy. And the problem is, entrepreneurs typically, and I will say this, over 99% of entrepreneurs out there copy other people with this insane belief that they will achieve better results. If that isn't a definition of insanity, I have no idea what it is, okay? So stop copying. Copying is the antithesis of creation. It is the enemy of innovation. And yet, everybody does it.
Everybody does.
Everybody does it. And they want to say, "Well, let's figure out what they're doing because it works for them. Let's try it here." Well, seriously? Come on. You're better than that.
Right. Right now, what still challenges you after all this success?
Exactly what we're doing right now. Having a conversation. About the importance of being different in a way that people care about
Yeah.
out there. Talking about the inadequacies and the challenges of the education system and the fact that we're not really producing, right, professionals that are able to help us get to a unique position in the sun, because I think that's where we need to get to, right? We can't get to a position in the sun that's bleh,
Yep.
right? That doesn't serve anybody. And so we need that sort of mindset, and we need leadership, like we're talking about here, to help people get there. That's what we need.
I love that so much. I'm going to ask you my final question, and then I want you to give us like all the details of where people could get resourced with you, where they could find your books, your podcast. If you genuinely lose everything and you have to start over today, no reputation, no network, no resources, what would you do differently? And then what would you do exactly the same?
I would do everything exactly the same. Okay, because it's imperfection.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not talking about a formula. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, that's the thing. It's about moving and shaking and figuring out what people crave and responding to that and trying to figure it out, but accepting the fact that it's all about following your nose.
Yeah.
It is about that, okay? Now, I know to the academics out there, that sounds ugh. I mean, you need, because we've been taught, we need that end game precisely defined. And it's called a 5-year plan. By the way, 5-year plans are stupid.
Yeah.
They will not make you successful. And one of the reasons is the fourth year never shows up. When have you ever seen a 5-year plan where the fourth year shows up? They simply don't. It becomes successive increments of what you achieve in 12 months. And so my whole thing is 2 years, by the way. And so, I would, if I had the same mindset I do now, and I lost everything, I would have to try and figure that out. But the imperfect model, okay, being led by what people crave, looking for opportunities to stand out and distance yourself from relationships and friends and all that kind of stuff that do nothing but serve as a magnet for sameness. All
Right.
right, get that done and it just go try some stuff. That's all you need to do. It's okay to screw up.
Yeah.
No, just try not to make the same mistake twice, please, because that implies that you didn't learn the first time. And mistakes are such an excellent source of learning if people look at them that way. And I would just kind of, I don't know. I don't know where I'd end up. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Okay, it's like people are in New York. I say to them, why doesn't your strategy say, let's head west?
Yeah.
Oh, that you couldn't do that. We got to tell exactly where are you heading. I said, how do you know when you start out? Because it's a function. Your endpoint is a function of what you do and learn along the way. Eventually, you'll find out whether you should be in Los Angeles or in Vancouver.
Yeah.
But you know, you probably didn't know that. And it doesn't mean that you're incapable. It means that we don't have the ability to predict a world that we're in right now, right? And so why create a process that implies that we know?
Right.
Dumb. And so
That's
yeah, I'm a realist, okay? I crap on what exists that doesn't work
Yeah.
and suggest incrementally some things that people might want to try. And I'm not trying to be prescriptive here, Brendan, seriously, because I have no right to be. All I can do is share what worked. Okay, then and now, in terms of being successful. It's all I can do.
I love that. Incredibly said. Tell us where we can find all of your stuff and get resourced with you.
So I have a website, bedifferentorbedead.com. And as I mentioned earlier, I've been blogging on my content for a long time. And the neat thing about it is I keep learning about it. I mean, it's one of these sources of learning. And so what I try and do is represent the contact and content in different ways because people learn in different ways, try and structure it and so forth. I do podcasts. I do guest podcasting like we've got now. I also have my own podcast called Audacious Moves to a Billion, and it's actually sitting on a player. I learned to do this myself. You'd be proud of me. I learned to actually embed the player on my homepage. So you can go to my homepage on bedifferentorbedead.com. And you can listen to my latest Audacious Moves to a Billion podcast. There's a quiz on my website, a Be Different or Be Dead quiz. And the whole idea is take the quiz and find out if you're different.
Yeah.
And so I've structured it along lines like, marketing and sales, this organizational kind of description. And the whole idea is for people to have fun, self-assess, and give them some information where they may want to prioritize what they do. Some people say, wow, I gotta move to cravings. So whatever. So it's just meant to do that, and I encourage teams to do that as well.
That's amazing.
And Yeah, and so my latest innovation around the blog has been really fun. So I've created three sort of vertical blog channels within Be Different or Be Dead. One is called Wacky Wednesdays. So Wacky Wednesdays is all about taking kind of like the common, I would say, woke narratives of the day and having fun with them and trying to address them in ways that suggest that they're not really achieving what they think they're achieving. And then I have Thoughtful Thursdays, which looks at kind of like different topics and gives it my spin. And then I've got Standalone Saturdays, and that's a deep dive in terms of differentiation, a really deep, crisp, detailed dive in differentiation. And so, yeah, that's, and I've got seven books, Be Different or Be Dead, the latest one, Audacious Ways I Took a Startup to a Billion. You can get access to those in any of the online stuff, bookstores, and on my website. And finally, I have an email address. It's roy.osing@gmail.com. And I'm really happy to have a conversation with individuals. That's pretty cool. I have people sending me their draft-only statements, Brandon. Hey, Roy, I heard you, boom, checked it out. Here's my draft only. What do you think? It's wonderful. Wonderful. So I'm available. At people's disposal, to be honest.
Yeah, I love that. And the audience got quite a treat today. And I'm going to tell you what I believe actually makes you really special. And it's not just that you built a billion-dollar company, it's that you refused to build it the way that everyone else said you should. That you were like the epitome of everything I want the show to represent, people stepping into their own raw potential. There's only one of you. There's one version of you, no copy paste. Like you were the only one that could ever steward your potential, and you've done that. You didn't do it by following the script. You didn't play it safe. You didn't choose what looked good on paper. You built what worked. And I think who you are and how you show up is incredibly rare because, people don't fail from lack of effort. They fail because they're copying the people, like you said, that have never built anything substantial. And you didn't do that. You trusted your instincts. You made incredibly bold moves and you stayed different, even when it would have been easier not to. And I think that's what makes you incredibly special. And I'm super honored you're here. I'm not joking about the note taking. If someone has them, you need to share them with me. Make sure you guys are resourced, okay? And to everyone listening, this is your reality check. If you're trying to build something real, you can't do it by blending in. You can't do it by copying everyone else. And you definitely cannot do it by playing small. God did not create you to follow some broken ass system. He created you to live in your highest potential, to build something that actually works. And guess what? You get to bring other people with you when you do. Roy's not just sitting on the things that worked for him. He's willing to come out here and express himself and have the conversations and share what is his magic. Your mess is your message, the failure, the risks, the things that didn't work, the things meant to destroy you. That's a training ground. So please stop waiting to have all your shit figured out and step into the arena. If this episode hit you, I need you to subscribe. I need you to share it, and I need you to send it to someone who needs it. And please drop a review. It takes less than 2 minutes to type out some nice little words, okay? Share your notes with me, you guys. I'm gonna say that one more time. If you're ready to take the hot seat, why don't you come tell me why you're special? You guys, I'll see you in the arena. Roy, you are incredible and everything I want the show to represent. So thank you so much for your time and your wisdom. You're amazing.
Thank you very much. Really enjoyed it. You did a hell of a good job, Brandon. Thank you.